and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk, all day. It is Friday, the 3rd of September, and you are On the Clock with Erin Green. On the Clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the Clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And since it's a Friday, that means it is. We've got an interesting show lined up for you. I know some of us semi-old heads are going to enjoy it. It's something special. One second. Ring the text line, please. Don't call the text line right now. You're distracting me. Anyway, I think the show is going to be a surprise. But before we get into the show, there's a couple of things to take care of. First, I want to give you a message about the Employment Incentive Program. Did you know that VAT-registered businesses who are tax compliant are eligible to participate in the government's Employment Incentive Program and can receive up to $400 per week in tax credit for up to 10 new full-time employees? Visit atlas.revenue.gov.bs to apply. The offer is valid 31st, 2021. And this message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Now, I'm just going to give you a heads up into have a local writer, director, and producer, filmmaker, and martial artists to talk about the history and the culture of appreciation for boxing and martial arts in the country. But on top of that, we're going to talk about one of the most exciting things I did ever hear about, which is the first ever Bahamian martial arts movie, the first Bahamian kung fu movie. Anyway, I think it's going to be exciting, but before we get there, I have a couple things to take care of. The first is to let me remind you how you can engage, how you can get on board. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas 969 or Flow 612. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. So I want to start off the show by addressing something that I addressed yesterday morning. I want to say that the sign that was erected in the section of Johnson Road and the Eastern Road that was obscuring or blocking visibility for westbound traffic and for people exiting Johnson Road, that sign is gone. It has been removed. I didn't know who the sign belonged to yesterday morning when I did the show. I only found out on my way back home yesterday. So I didn't know it was a PLP sign when I asked the owners of the sign to remove it. And so I want to say thank you to the Progressive Liberal Party for removing their sign. It seems like in less than 24 hours. Thank you for acknowledging. It has nothing to do with politics and partisan politics. It's a community issue and it is a safety issue. And one of the biggest changes in this constituency, at St. Anne's, that's the constituency the intersection is in, has been those road work or road reconstruction projects that have made the accessway from the Eastern Road into various communities safer for the people in those communities and the people who use those roads. And so I want to say thank you to the PLP for seeing that it was a problem when it was brought to your attention and getting rid of it. And perhaps that's the most that we can ask for, the most that we could do in this moment. I wish that we were operating at a click, at a speed that would allow us or that would prevent these things from happening in the first place. But if you saw my post yesterday on Facebook about my engagement with members of the PLP about the sign, I just want to say again, thank you for getting it down so quickly. Any chain is only as strong as its weakest link. I think it's important for political parties and members of political parties, even if you're not leadership, to understand the need to not just practice personal discipline and self-control, but to teach it, to preach it, to perpetuate it, to make it a culture and share it like we share memes about things that make us laugh. That if you're a member of a party, it is also your job, equal to the leadership, to ensure that not only are you being a disciplined citizen and participant in governance, but that you encouraging, you causing, or you compelling those around you to engage with the same level of thoughtfulness, mindfulness, and personal discipline. One of the most important questions, I think, you see, I got this list, but I keep coming back to this one question. I got this long list of questions. I keep coming back to this one question, though. How will you cause or compel those under your charge, those working with you in leadership at the constituency level, at the community level, how will you compel them to discipline themselves? And we could see in the lead up to the election, we call this the audition period, right? In the audition period, the audition segment of the show, we can already see that parties are having a tremendously difficult time causing and compelling their members to discipline themselves. I'll even point to statements by MP Wells and MP Sands on nomination day when encountered by reporters. They were both indicating that all of the people with them are vaccinated and that, but no one mentioned the fact that they're obviously breaching the protocol by having more than five people on the site. Because campaigning is limited to five people. Now, we could sit there and play and say, oh, well, it wasn't campaigning really, Ms. Green. It was nomination day. So what were the extra 35 people doing out there? What are all those people doing? See, when you get down to the nitty-gritty, you realize how far away we've slipped from the center. But if you was a little churin, or if you remember being a little churin and getting beaten for nothing, getting beaten for things you don't understand, getting beaten for things you have no control over, and some of us not so little children still in that position. You see, then you understand how dangerous it is to let these standards fall, to not be disciplined and hold others to account also. Nomination day was a mess. And while we sit here on the other side of the table talking about how, well, I mean, we just, you know, it's just going to take too much hard work to ensure that as many people as possible can vote in their own elections. Because, of course, we don't want to see a spike, you know, associated with the election. How are we going to be able to distinguish? How are we really going to be able to distinguish or to determine whether the spike came from nomination day, which is a political party affair, or if it came from the actual election? This issue isn't going to go to bed. There's plenty of things that we have to keep our eye on. I wish I had 16 eyes. Somebody asked me today if I'm going to ask Bannister for his resignation. And I tell the people, if you've been listening to me, I've been calling for Bannister's resignation for a good 5-6 years. Like, I ain't worried about it. It's nothing new you could tell me that would then make me jump up. But done been calling for it. Couple more things before we go. I'm reading in the paper, and it seems as if the headline's right here. Minister tells Bahamians they will need vaccine for U.S. visas. But guess where Minister told the Bahamians this? It's not in like a white paper. Is that what a white paper is for? It's not a green paper. I'm not sure if that's what a green paper is for. I've never actually seen any of them. Not at a press conference, the office of the prime minister, not at a media press briefing, not in a national address, not in a statement with him and the minister of foreign affairs. The prime minister said this at a rally. At a rally. Imagine a matter of national importance. Something which to most Bahamians is so important. You're going to announce it at a rally. Now, you didn't have to announce it at a rally, you know, because you didn't have to call a snap election. You didn't have to call a snap election and tell the people you need a new mandate and then get on the rally stage and tell everybody what your mandate is. You asking us for a new mandate, or you telling us what you intend to do? And why you keep telling us these things at rallies? Why wouldn't you tell us these things in a space where we have an opportunity to ask questions? See, y'all make it so difficult for us to have patience with you. You make it so difficult. I also want to make a brief mention of the situation at the University of the Bahamas, indicating that people coming on campus will either need to be vaccinated or pay for weekly COVID tests. I thought to myself, what would Jennifer Isaacs Dotson do in a situation like this? But we can't ask her that because she's running for the FNM. And then I asked myself, well, what would John Pinder do? But we can't ask him that either because he's running for the FNM. Where have all the unionists gone? They gone a long time passing. The union is gone to join political party and leaving us in the lurch. The problem is with that. See, last night, a gentleman by the name of Wellington, I think Roberts, Wellington the funny. He funny, you know. He funny. He's a real political satirist. He ain't bad. He made a statement last night on his personal Facebook page about why he withdrew as a candidate for the Independent Coalition in North Andres and why he threw his support behind the PLP vying for that seat. And one of the things he said was that a number of people told him when he was on the ground in Andres that they can't sign, they can't be one of the five, one of the signatories, because they're afraid to lose their good government job. Now, on the island, any government job is a good government job. Any government job. is a good government job. And I ain't mad at the people who tell Wellington that, you know. I'm mad at those of us that have allowed an environment to manifest and solidify itself where ordinary citizens are going to tell you, I rather abdicate my right to express my political opinion or self in this country. I abdicate my right to sign my name to support a candidate who I think should run. And for me, I'll sign your thing even if I ain't voting for you because I think you should run. People are afraid to do that. A young man explained to me today that if you are self-employed, it's suicide to express your political opinion in this place. And boy, look here, the Grammy and me going to yug that little boy up and pull him to the sky and say, King man, this is your own country. But then I realize, especially for people who have children, everything ain't what it seems when you're sitting up on your unmarried, unchildren, ivory tower, your unmortgaged ivory tower. Everything isn't as simple when you're sitting with obligations. And so I'm not mad at him. I'm mad at us. To be right-thinking and sensible Bahamians that have allowed the political culture to consume us and who we are and what we believe in to the point where young people cannot be convinced they're not living on a plantation. See, I think I mentioned this earlier in the week, but after I watched my Aunt Joan's funeral and I watched this beautiful documentary made by her, and I got that solid reminder again of who I is, from whence I came, who my people are. I was re-energized with the revolutionary spirit that I could do anything that is worth doing in the place that I am from or wherever I go, because I's a Hasty and a Mitchell. I's a Bahamian. I come from people who believe in themselves and their ancestors and the power of that union. And I want every other Bahamian to understand that is how you stand in your power. Not by sidling up to any political organization or being friends with the general or not saying the wrong thing at the right time or the right thing at the wrong time. We are raising cowards. We are enslaving our own children. And we ain't got no more time for that. We ain't got no more time for that. We get to some texts. Text says, nomination. Oh, start at the top. Great show as usual. Ask your guest if he could do me a favor. We can't go by the roundabout and karate kick anybody. Although we are extremely frustrated with the horrible driving and the lack of enforcement. We can't act like that. Now, the text, according to the PLP, the country is in a bad shape, so why the eager beaver? No solutions to the problem. Wave riders want to get into the mess. That's a light, trite, and unfair assessment, I think, texter. But we got time. We're going to get into it. But not right now, because right now I got to bring my guest into studio. I was hoping, Kermit, has D'Angelo Swaby joined the Zoom link? Okay, cool. So D'Angelo Swaby will be joining us in a second. Let's get the show started. I want to say good morning to Mr. Devron Pinder.
Good morning. Sister Erin, how are you today?
I am good, thank you. Devron.
Thank you for having me today.
Absolutely. Devron, calling from Grand Bahama.
Yes, I am.
And so I'm very happy that you could join us this morning. And you are the owner or co-owner of Diplight Media?
Yes, I am.
Absolutely. So I told the people today, I'm talking to a boxer and a martial artist and movie maker about the history and culture of appreciation for boxing and martial arts in the country. Now, Devron Pinder is the writer, producer, and director of the greatest Bahamian movie of all time. Shelly Moss, we gonna argue about it. Knocking the Conch Style. Devron Pinder, tell the Bahamian people what Knocking the Conch Style is.
As you mentioned, it is the first ever Bahamian martial arts film. I study a style of Kung Fu called Four Winds of Kung Fu, and I was fascinated by the fact that a Bahamian was able to create the style and teach it amongst Bahamians. I was fascinated by that, and that was kind of the inspiration behind the film. I've always wanted to do a martial arts film. When we looked at the landscape of cinema in the country, the films tend to lean in a certain direction, you know, a comedy, a drama, you know, and it just seemed to just stay in that one section. And I'm looking at the martial artists we have in the country that have represented us very well, even on the world stage. And I'm thinking to myself, something needs to be done to shine a light on that.
Well, listen.
So that was just my contribution to Bahamian cinema.
It is awesome. But just on that point, so doing some research last night, I found lists of names of Bahamian boxers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I didn't find any lists of names of Bahamian martial artists. And even the great Kimbo Slice,
yes,
who moved into mixed martial arts, was that, you know, there was no list of martial artists with him on it.
Yes.
So how are we going to take care of that?
I think more needs to be done probably at the federation level. Mm-hmm. Now, let me just quantify that by saying this is my personal opinion.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, I'm not speaking for anyone. I'm not trying to tell anyone what to do. But there is a record of Bahamians that have competed and won abroad. I feel as if the Bahamas Martial Arts Federation needs to compile that and nation public. We as martial artists, we tend to walk a humble route. So mm-hmm. We're not necessarily going to, for lack of a better expression, brag about our accomplishments, because for a lot of us, that's just not the way we were trained and raised. But that doesn't negate the fact that just like a Toriano Johnson, just like a Kimbo Slice, just like, you know, a Shawnee Miller or a Stephen Gardner, we in the martial arts community have done great things to represent this country.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Absolutely. And so what is the name of the local martial arts federation?
The Bahamas Martial Arts Federation, yeah.
Okay, awesome.
And that's not to be confused with the Boxing Federation, because
right.
Those are two separate entities.
Right, and then there is the Boxing Commission,
yes,
which focuses on regulations and safety procedures and standards for the sport and the space as a whole.
Yes.
Wow, absolutely. So I got some sort of heavy questions. See, for me, a part of the inspiration for this discussion is I met this young man by the name of D'Angelo Swaby again, because I done buck him a couple times.
Okay.
And he is, he's boxing in an event coming up on the 25th.
Okay.
And so...
Good luck to him.
Yeah, man. In fact, say good morning, D'Angelo. Yeah, yeah.
Morning.
Good morning, Brother Swaby. Good luck to you on your upcoming bout, sir.
Thank you so much.
And so when we linked up, we were in front of a constituency office, right? And it just popped into my head. Imagine if we could take the skills that our young people and adults are learning and practicing in martial arts and boxing and sort of commodify them or put them together in a way where we can give them to young people and teach them in different environments. So, you know, right in front of the constituency office, I said to D'Angelo, imagine if every politician took a martial arts or a boxing course. Imagine the skills that they would learn and how they could use them both in campaigning and in governance. And so I wanted to ask both of you this morning, before we sort of get into the fun questions, how did you get into your practice, and what are some of the skills or the positive things that you've taken from this space, from this practice, and you use in your professional or adult life?
First, maybe you'd like to go first, though?
That's fine.
Pull the mic right to you. Right, and pull it up. Yeah, speak right to it. Yeah.
Okay, can I hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. First off, how I got into boxing?
Yeah, quick. We got about a minute.
Okay.
And then we can get back on the other side of the break.
All right. I got into boxing after I couldn't make rugby practice. Been playing rugby for a very long time.
Yeah.
Walked into Ray Manor's gym. That had been 2011. Just wanted to get in shape. After a while, he convinced me to try it out, and that's been it ever since. Some of the takeaway from the art of boxing would be major discipline, mm-hmm. Patience, and just being mentally aware.
Mental awareness, mental clarity,
yes.
Spatial awareness.
Yes.
Super cool. But thanks for the music, Kermit. So what we're going to do, we're going to slide into this break. Devron, hold the line, and when we come back, we'll get into your experience.
No problem.
All right. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021, for your family line. You better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Erin Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Peace of mind. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. You are On the Clock with Erin Green, and I have joining me today D'Angelo Swaby, boxer, and Devron Pinder, director, producer, martial artist. And D'Angelo, just before the break, you were sharing with us that you were a rugby player.
Yeah.
And you were unable to play rugby for some reason. And so you decided to check out the gym, and that's how you got into boxing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Devron.
Yeah.
Now, I know how I got into martial arts. Right?
Yeah.
Watching the best movies ever as a little child. And mind you, compared to ZNS at that time, any movie was the best movie ever, right? But watching the movies with the ninjas flying, synchronized, kickboxing in the sky, that's how I got into martial arts. I practiced judo for a couple of years in high school. But that's how I was inspired. I grew up loving martial arts. Movies. How did you get into this practice?
It's very similar to Brother Swaby. What happened was I was trying to get some insurance, and you know, they go through the whole process and they weighed you, and the lady looked at me and said, Fender, if you were 1 pound heavier, you could not get this insurance. At the time, I was 499 pounds.
Ooh.
So I was contemplating how I was going to lose the weight, I took that kind of as a sign of like, okay, brother, time to get your fat behind into something.
Mm-hmm.
And the gym wasn't necessarily appealing. So I was on the look for a martial arts school, and Kung Fu always spoke to me. So it had to be a Kung Fu school. No offense to the karatekas and judokas and taekwondo practitioners, but that was just where my interest lies.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. So it is also, it's a personal health and wellness journey as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then, I also wanted to learn how to fight. Growing up, I was picked on and teased a lot. And I just wanted to ensure that I had a way to defend myself if I found myself in the situation. Yeah.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a quick question here. I see martial arts and martial arts practice as a useful tool for personal and community development, especially for youth development. Let's talk about that space, both you and D'Angelo. How a man feels when he knows that he can protect himself if necessary, and how that changes his self-confidence and his sense of self.
Brother Slavy?
Just knowing that you can defend yourself is very reassuring. It really builds up your confidence, especially if you have to travel through or live in a dodgy area, especially if, you get a girlfriend or something that you could protect. You want to end the event, something go down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the art itself, I would say, as a man, knowing that you can engage in something, especially when you learn to like it as a competition and not,
For the sake of brutality.
I wouldn't say brutality, because when you're fighting, you're communicating with your fists. I mean, in boxing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And no fighter wants to kill another fighter.
Yeah.
No matter what they say before the fight. It's all in good sportsmanship, because with boxing, you want to break your opponent down to the point where he yield.
Right.
So sometimes it's being near death,
Yeah.
For him, because if the mind is willing, the body can push.
Right.
And that's what we learn as boxers, that discipline.
Yeah.
You have a broken rib or broken arm, but you got to fake,
Yeah.
And keep pushing.
And you certainly can't let the opponent know that's where the injury is,
exactly.
Or they will capitalize on that.
You can't. But there's some things, just a little small segue, same with that. Some injuries you could hide. Some you can't, because your body can say, hey, I hurt.
Yeah.
Like a good body shot, a good liver shot. You can shut down. You'll feel it, but 2 seconds later, your body will shut down. You'll have to take a knee.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't hide from that.
Wow. And I think that's important to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the reasons why I think every politician should take a martial arts or a boxing course is because you need to know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can just, if you guys don't mind, this sort of political reference, because it's right there in the media.
Mm-hmm.
Wellington Roberts from the Coalition of Independence, he resigned. And in the statement, he said, look, I came to this point where I realized that it don't make sense putting any more money into this fight that people have already told me they cannot support me in. Right? So I resigned. And I as soon as you said that, 2 seconds later after the blow, your body can tell you to take a knee.
Yeah.
And he literally said, my heart told me that this politics is not for me. And it takes a degree of spatial awareness and self-awareness,
mm-hmm,
to sort of understand that. And I imagine, and you telling me now, yes, boxing could teach you them things. Absolutely. Devron.
If I could just kind of piggyback off what Brother Slavy is saying and to add to your point,
mm-hmm,
and I'm sure Brother Slavy could attest to this, when you're in the ring with your opponent, whoever's outside of the ring, even barking out what you should do, they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You are in that ring with that opponent. And you have to face that opponent. And so you have to figure out or rely on your training to get you through the round or see you through to the end of the fight. And I think a politician or anybody that wants to be in that arena, or just anyone in general, if they take up a martial art class or go to a boxing gym, all it takes is that first punch or that first hit or that first experience with pain to understand, hey, listen, this ain't going to go the way you think this can go.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Once you understand that, and once you understand that whatever you shoot back at your opponent could come back at you and cause you damage, you rethink your entire strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But enough people running around in this world, quite frankly, ain't never been punched in the face.
I mean, and so, like, for the wider audience who may not have gotten the reference there, right? Like, that's a meme that's become popular, but now you realize it comes from the sporting world, right? That this is a real-life lesson. You really don't know until your nervous system tell you what the real answer is.
Exactly.
Absolutely. You know? So, listen, I got a couple of questions from the audience, and I think they may be for you, Devron. The first one is, do you know anything about the kickboxer Charles who mysteriously disappeared many years ago?
I never met him. I knew of him. I can't say I can speak to that. I have the same questions as well. Where exactly did he go? No, I don't have any answers to that. I apologize.
Absolutely. So Charles, the kickboxer, if you have... You know, if you fled for asylum or you went and you got married and say you ain't never coming back to the Bahamas, give your people a call. We looking for you. Another text here for the guest. Ask your guest if he could make a film like Karate Kid or the movie Kickboxer, but with a Bahamian flair to it, that would be cool. Dear texter, maybe you missed the beginning of the show. And that's my bad. So Devron and D'Angelo, now we have to talk a bit about Knocking the Conk Style 1 and 2. Dear texter, Devron already did that. So, the first thing you said, the four winds of Kung Fu, that's a style that was created locally, right?
Yes, it was.
Now,
our grandmaster's name is Kenneth Lewis.
Kenneth Lewis.
Yeah.
Now, I can say I love it, first of all, because it's Bahamian. But as soon as you say four winds, and I think, well, we live in a hurricane belt. It would be natural and inherent for us to harness the power of the wind.
Yes.
Right, in our martial... I love it. So what other styles of martial arts were developed here or practiced here predominantly?
We have Taekwondo, Shotokan Karate. Shout out to Sensei McKinney. We have... also, Brian Beckford. Shout out to Brian Beckford. We have Taekwondo here. There's mixed martial arts here. Shout out to Dr. Ken Zabad.
Yes.
All y'all over there at Impair Fitness.
One second. I'm trying to get Dr. Ken Bazard on the show, but he operating in his original superpower capacity today, and he is on call. So I tell him if he could jam in, but we know the patients need him more than we do.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would also say the Bahamian style of boxing is kind of unique to us around the world. We have to give credit where credit is due. So everyone from, Thriller Minute Pratt to Ray Minus Jr.
Mm-hmm.
and everybody else in that field, we have to give them their flowers we have to give them their respect and acknowledgement because they made contributions to that arena that, you know, again, the world took notice of and even took some of it back to their home country.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing a lot of people don't know.
Absolutely. So look here, let me read through a list of names that every Bahamian should know.
Yes.
And then maybe you guys could tell us what you know about them or add some names to the list. And I will start off by saying I don't have any women names on this list. And I would hate to think that Bahamian men don't encourage women boxing because they're scared of getting boxed up. That's not what KB meant when he said the biggest box in the world I ever saw. It was not the left hook coming at him, right?
No, it wasn't.
Right, so let me read some of these names. I think you called a couple as well. Turiano Johnson.
Yes.
Kimbo Slice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nat Knowles.
Yes.
Ray Minus. Gary Minus. Davis. Steve mm-hmm. Larimore. Philip yes. Pinder. Mm-hmm. Andre Seymour. Then I got Elijah Obed.
Yes.
William Butler, a.k.a. Yama Bahama.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Like, I know those are names we cannot forget. And I want to mention Fred Stirrup's name. Not okay. I don't think Fred is a boxer. Is Fred a boxer? Like, an amateur boxer?
I can't tell you for sure, but I know that he is the president of the Boxing Commission.
Right, and he is, every article I found, I was looking last yes. night, is yes. by Frederick Stirrup. So I want to indicate that this is the person to follow for editorials and for information yes. about boxing. Mm-hmm. And if you yes. want to get in touch with him, if you have any important questions, right, you could contact him at stirrup1504@gmail.com. And like that's where I learned about Yama Bahama, about Obed, that Obed was fighting. He joined the amateur ranks at the age of 12, fighting almost weekly. He ran up an undefeated record. Now let me make this point here. See, when you're 12 and you're working, you're half man.
Yeah.
But when you're 12 and you're working in a boxing ring, you're whole man and half a child. And we have a lot of young men in particular in this country who have been, due to circumstances out of their own control, forced into this space where you're a whole man and half a child, right? But they don't have the boxing practice to give them the skill set that will help them navigate the world as a growing adult. Right? That's what struck me when I read that about Obed. So I want to ask you guys a question. How are we going to shore up and reinforce what has been laid by our forefathers and foremothers in boxing and in martial arts? How are we going to ensure that we can keep this as something for young people to experience also? Right? And then the next question is, have you guys thought about how we can use tourism to maintain and preserve these spaces? And can Grand Bahama be a contact sport tourism hub in the Bahamas?
Okay.
Well, that's my music coming up. So we're going to go to a break. And then when we come back, you guys could answer those questions for me.
Okay. Not a problem.
Awesome. Thank you very much. And to my listening audience, stay tuned to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio for the closing bell in the fight between Aaron Green and D'Angelo Swaby and Devron Pinder. We'll be right back.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready, tell it to the whole family. The 1, 2, 4, 2, the count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell the law, mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the Solution. Sponsor On the Clock of Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And I know, guys, I asked you a whole bunch of questions before the break, but essentially, what I'm asking is, how are you in the space, the stakeholders of the space, and we, the wider society, going to ensure that martial arts and boxing practices are things that we can provide for our children, spaces we can ensure that they have an opportunity to interact with and to have an opportunity to build these very important life skills? That's one part of the question. And the second part of the question is, how are we going to work with tourism to support this, to maintain these spaces and to support the participation of Bahamians in these sports? Are we going to become a center for filmmaking and making martial arts in the Bahamas? Are we going to be a tourism hub for contact sports in Grand Bahama? Because I think Grand Bahama would be a perfect space for it, especially with the history associated with both of the disciplines.
To answer the first question, more of a spotlight needs to be put on the possibilities within boxing and martial art to not only, you know, continue to grow the sport, but to highlight on the benefits of it. It can seem scary, especially to parents of young children, but there are skills that you learn in combat sport that you pretty much are not going to find anywhere else. For example, if a child has anger management issues, no, you're not going to punch and slap your way through everything. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned earlier, there will be someone to fire back. Mm-hmm. Now what are you going to do? You have to actually stop, use your brain, and think. And if you are incapable of doing that, well, then you are going to lose.
Yeah.
Am I right for this, baby?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And to add to that, so when it comes to the boxing, the program's still there for kids. The helm has been passed from, you know, like Ray Manis Jr., thanks to him. He's still operating, training the youth for amateur boxing. That's champion amateur boxing program. They have Ron Rogers with Strikers Boxing Club. You got Kishno Major and Valentino Knowles operating Aftershock Boxing Club, and they're training the youth. I believe what it needs is competition between the islands, more like on a national level, because they'll have local shows, but the local shows usually involve kids from Nassau. It has to be on a national level. Like any other country, you have national events, so you compete to be on a national level.
And it's not just that. I want to see what styles come out of the family island experience, right? Somebody just asked, sent a text, Miss Green, if I could do martial arts. I will tell them if, in fact, Brother Swaby is in a match on September 25th. And if he win his match, then I challenge him to a mixed martial arts battle with my own. Well, not my own. I didn't develop it. But the style that I practice is called dashing, right? And that's where me and you about to fight, but I throw you on the ground and then I dash away very quickly to a safe place. And he can't beat me at that, right? And so, you know, I hope that, if, you know, the spread to the family islands, we will see more styles develop that take into account the environment in which the practice is being held, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
if I can say as well, the elephant in the room when it comes to all of this needs to be addressed. What it will take is funding. Nothing happens without financial support. And so I don't think it necessarily needs to come from the government, even though, you know, we have a ministry dedicated to that. But it is going to take some sort of financial support or injection into the respective sports. And it also takes the responsibility of persons within their respective combat fields to do what they say they're going to do, not take a check from someone for $10,000, and then when you look, they have a brand new car. Like, that kind of foolishness can't happen.
Right. Right. Yeah. Absolutely. So listen, I am all out of time. I would like you, tell the people just very briefly, we got 1 minute, about Knocking the Conch Style, and then Swaybe, tell the people how to get in touch with you if they want to support you in your upcoming battle. Mr. Pinder?
Knocking the Conch Style is actually on YouTube. If persons want to watch it, you just type in Knocking the Conch Style, and it should pop up in your search bar. I want to thank everyone that takes the time out to go and take a look at it. .org Bahamian Martial Arts Film. Mm-hmm. You know, thank you for your support. And in addition to that, we need to support Brother Swaybe and his bout. Go out and watch your Bahamian brother perform in the ring.
Yeah, along with other Bahamians.
Yes.
Absolutely. Just quickly, what about Knocking the Conch Style 2? Where we could find that? And do we have to purchase the DVD? Because some are down for that.
Actually, I have to rethink that. There's been some unfortunate events associated with part two, but it is still in pre-production.
Absolutely. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. So maybe how we can get in contact with you?
So what you can do, this event is a live stream event only, so you could sit at home, watch it on your laptop, you know, tablet, TV, anything with internet access. You could actually WhatsApp at 814-4747. So that we can sort you out.
Yeah. I don't want you get beat up. Don't send me the link to that. I want to send my children to go to a boxing school with somebody I trust named Swaybe. How people interested in boxing, interested in sparring, young men who want to learn more about the sport, how they can get in touch with you?
Me specifically?
Yeah.
Oh, you can go to the National Gym, ask any one of the guys there for Swaybe. In fact, you could even look online for Strikers Boxing Club. You could contact Ron Rogers, ask him for Swaybe.
All right, so you're part of Strikers Boxing Club.
Yes, that's my second coach next to Ray Minus Jr., because that's what I started with.
Okay, cool. And Ray Minus Jr. is Champions?
Champions Boxing Club.
All right, see, thanks to Fred Stirrup, I found a lot of information online. Mm-hmm. But we can't get into that. Last question before we go, then we're out of the studio for D'Angelo and Devron. A texter asks, if there's a fight between kung fu and karate, and then I can throw in boxing, who would win? And let's close out the show on that.
Well, go ahead, Brother Swaybe.
Okay, when it comes to boxing, I guess, because we're only disciplined in the stand-up game, you know, so we win in striking, but if they go for the legs, you know, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Devron?
I would say it depends on the fighter, because if the person is a great thinker, he may just have hands, but he can still win against someone that has more weapons in his arsenal against him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you very much. Just once you all know, in a fight between kung fu and karate and boxing, who would win is Erin Green, because she's the greatest fighter of all time. Dashing is her sport. Anyway, thank you guys. It's been a fun show. And thank you for sharing some of the most valuable things you've learned in your practice and your discipline with us, the wider public. I think they're valuable things for us to take with us into the future, especially into this election season, so that we can understand the multifacets of this thing called discipline. Anyway, thanks for tuning in, and thank you to Devron Pinder and D'Angelo Swaybe for joining me today. Thanks to Dr. Kent Bazard, who is also in Knocking the Conch Style, even though he couldn't join us this morning. Have a great weekend, Bahamas. Love one another. Take care of one another. And stay tuned. LeVon Miller is next.